Go to 2 Timothy, 2 Timothy chapter 3, and we'll finish this chapter up this morning. I'm going to read from verse 10. 2 Timothy 3:10. But you have carefully followed my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, love, perseverance, persecutions, afflictions, which happened to me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra. What persecutions I endured. And out of them all the Lord delivered me. Yes, and all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. But evil men and impostors will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But you must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you've learned them, and that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. This morning, what we really believe when it comes to the Scriptures determines eternity, where we'll spend eternity, and really determines how successful, or I guess to what extent of a failure, our lives on this earth will be. And so Paul, in writing to this pastor, this young pastor, encourages him to continue in the things that he's learned. His grandmother had taught him, his mother had taught him, and then Paul had taught him the Scriptures. The Old Testament Scriptures and the Scriptures in the New Testament that they would have possessed at that time. We mentioned in verse 15, the gospel is simple. Timothy didn't need to have a seminary degree. He didn't need to have a certain level of education to learn as a child. He had learned these things. You know how important it is that we teach our children the Scriptures. That from childhood, he had known the Holy Scriptures. And I think there's a lot to knowing the Holy Scriptures. The Jews, they have memorized. And I've met a number of different men who were rabbis or in leadership. And from a very early age, they memorize. By the age of 7, for sure, they have the first 5 books of the Bible memorized. Many times, much of the Psalms. And so this would be instilled in these children. The key is not just memorizing it, but having it change my life and change my heart and transform my life and direct my life. That I not only know the Scriptures in my head, but I live the Scriptures, following my heart. And so I just love that the gospel can simply be taught, very simply. And so from childhood, he had known the Holy Scriptures. And what did the Holy Scriptures teach him? It made him wise. It made him wise for salvation. All of us parents, I can remember each of my kids, when they came to salvation. at a very young age. I can remember when we baptized our kids at a young age. You know, thankfully, each of them is still walking with the Lord and serving the Lord and loving the Lord. But the scriptures make us wise. And the integrated message throughout the entire Bible is salvation. Faith in Christ Jesus. And then this is where I wanted to spend the rest of the time, just these last two verses. Because what are the scriptures and these truths that Paul defines here? All scripture, not part of it, not just the parts that I like, not just the parts that I think are important. You know, even the genealogies, you know, I think those things are some of the most boring things. The censuses, you know, of the tribes and the children of Israel. All scripture is, in the Greek, given, it says in the New King James, is given. All scripture is God-breathed. Is the Greek. God breathed out the scriptures. We said 2 weeks ago that we hold in our hands, you might say we hold God's breath in our hands. You know, we have the mind of God written for us in the scriptures. The truth of all that is truth written in the scriptures. And so, the scriptures are given by God, literally God's breath, God's word, God's mind given to us. We talked about the fact, and we went to Peter, if you remember, that no scripture is of man's interpretation. David wasn't sitting out on a hill, or maybe not even that. David wasn't sitting in his camp with his men thinking, wow, my childhood was kind of rough. I was the youngest, and so they made me go out and sit on that hillside day and night watching those sheep. I had to protect those sheep. In fact, I killed a bear and I killed a lion protecting those sheep. And I've been in some hard scrapes here, and Saul, he's kind of been chasing me around. And man, those sheep needed protected and provided for. And you know what? I was a shepherd to those sheep. I think God is kind of like a shepherd. I think I'll write, the Lord is my shepherd. I think I'll write that down. That's a good analogy. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. David didn't think those things. What Paul's saying is that God breathed, God moved. Peter tells us that God moved upon men by his Spirit. And they wrote what God was literally telling them. Not that they were ignorant, but they weren't putting their opinion and their analogies and their illustrations into what God was giving to them. It was almost like God bypassed, you know, their thinking and opinion and intellect. They simply wrote what God told them to write. I guess that's the best way. It's inspired. The scriptures, we talked about the three N's. Back with Dr. Williams. And maybe one of my first theology classes. You know, learning the truths of the scriptures. And really, this is where this comes from. The three N's, I can remember him teaching. You know, just remember the three N's. The scriptures are inspired. What is Paul saying? That the scriptures originate and come totally from God. not from man, not from man's mind. They are inspired. The origin of the scriptures are from God. The scriptures, we talked about this 2 weeks ago, they're infallible. What does that mean? The scriptures are totally dependable. The scriptures will not fail. They're infallible. And they're inerrant. There are no mistakes. There are no untruths. They're totally without error. Now, if you go to a seminary today, even a seminary I went to, you would have, again, classes on doctrine and theology. And that one part of one of those classes would deal with biblical you deal with the canon, but what I'm talking about is criticism, higher criticism. And you sit in those classes and wow, if you are not solidly believing in the scriptures, depending on, again, depending on the place and depending on their beliefs, a lot of these, what would have been your bulwarks and very biblical places of learning have totally left that. And so in these classes on criticism and higher criticism, what they do is they tear the Bible apart and they begin to show you all the things in the Bible that aren't really, they're mistakes and they're not true and this and that and the other. And it can really throw a person for a loop if they're not grounded. Just like if we would send any of our kids to a liberal, maybe state institution, they're really going to be up against it. Especially if they're not strong in their faith and they haven't been taught to critically think and evaluate things. Because the higher education in our country has been totally taken over and hijacked. And so it's a sad thing. And so many, there was a statistic that was out there by the Family Research Center that something like 85% of children from Christian homes that go to a state institution or higher learning institution that's not Christian forsake their faith. That's an amazing statistic. And it might have been higher than that. I know it was at least 85%. Wow. So, you know, their faith is really under assault in these places. And so what we're saying is that the Bible is without mistake. It's without error. It's inerrant. That's what we believe here. That I like some of the last verses of the Bible. You know, if I would change, if I would add, or I would take away from this prophecy, even the stroke on the T, a jot or a tittle, basically, you know, let me be accursed. I mean, I cannot alter, I cannot add or take away from the truth of the scriptures. And so all scripture is given by the inspiration of God. It's infallible. And the scriptures are inerrant. That's what we believe. And, verse 16, they're profitable. They're good. The scriptures are good. They're profitable. They're given to us because God loves us. God loves us and He has our best at heart. And so they're given to us for our benefit, for our profiting. Timothy's already defined the most important profit, and that's salvation. We can't have salvation without the truth of the Scriptures, without staying pure to the gospel, without preaching the gospel, without sharing the gospel. You know, that was one of our main motivations, really two motivations. I mean, ultimately, we want to glorify God, but how do you glorify God? By preaching the gospel. And so when we had the opportunity with the radio, those are the first things that came to our mind. We want the gospel to be very clear. And that's one of the things that I hear from people that hear for the first time. Wow. Four times an hour. Five times an hour. You can't guess at what it's all about, because you have the way of the Master. You have the evangelism minute. You have the hot spots. You have these times that's all it is. Go share your faith. You know what? This moment's passed. It's gone forever. Be about the gospel. The truth of the gospel. And then discipleship. Jim, this past week, I suppose worked hours and hours. Defining. Because we're being asked now in Buffalo. Pastors are asking, how can I be on the radio? Well, we just don't want anybody on the radio. And so defining, this is what we want on the radio. You're welcome to be on the radio if you can initial these things and stick to the truth of what we're desiring. We want discipleship. That only comes by clearly and simply sticking to the Scriptures and the truth of the Scriptures. And the best way to do that is to go verse by verse and chapter by chapter and book by book and teach the Bible. And so if you agree with this kind of, that's where your heart is, we can probably partner with you. You can probably teach on the radio. It's a great opportunity. And so all Scripture is profitable. It's been given to us for our benefit. God loves us. Just like I love my children. I've told this story many times. When Micah was just little Kay, I don't even think he was born quite yet. And we moved into our house. It wasn't finished. There were studs. There were nothing on the studs. There were wires running through the studs. There was electric to the wires running in the studs. I had wire to the receptacles. I hadn't even screwed the receptacles in. The receptacles were just hanging there. And we moved in. We had little kids. You know, Christy was three. Michael was one. Kay wasn't quite here yet. I didn't screw the receptacles in. That came with time. But I told my kid, don't touch that. No, they could have touched it when I wasn't looking. They would have got the shock of their life. But I told them things and gave them guidelines and tried to speak truth to them. Why? Because I loved them. I wanted them to succeed in life. I wanted them to do well in life. I wanted them to avoid maybe some of the things that mistakes I had made in life. Maybe some of the things of the mistakes that I've dealt with, you know, people most of my life now, that we've walked through together. You know, you don't have to go through these things if you make the right decisions, if you do the right things. And so that's what God's done to us. He's given us the pathway to life. And then not just life eternal, but life abundantly. And it's a wonderful thing. He loves us. And so everything in the scriptures is good. And it's to our benefit. It's to profit us. And then he lists four things. These words, this scripture, this graphe, is God-breathed and originates with God and is profitable for doctrine. Sometimes we hate that word. We need to love that word. Doctrine comes from the word in the Greek. I wrote it there. I didn't write the Greek, but the didache, teaching. It's the Greek word for teaching. It's truth. It's profitable for instruction in truth principles, is what I put. I have to know the truth. I have to know the truth about the nature and the character of God. I need to know the truth about the nature and character of man, of man's heart. It teaches us the path of salvation. That's Timothy, again, the scriptures made him wise unto salvation. It's the only place we'll find the truth to salvation. We won't find it in the Quran. We won't find it in the almanac. We won't find it in whatever. We find it in the scriptures. It gives us the truth concerning the church. It gives us the truth of God's standard of holiness. Again, his attributes, his character. And then what his standards are for living and for life. The truth about salvation, the truth about faith, the truth about end times, the truth about daily living, the truth, again, about the church, the truth about the important things, the truth about marriage, right? The truth about family. The truth of righteousness. The truth. Go down the line. The doctrines. The teachings. That we need to grasp onto and cling to and hold to and never let go. It's profitable. The scriptures are profitable to us. Because it gives us the truth of doctrine. The second thing he says, profitable for reproof. Rebuke. I looked this up in the Hebrew, and I looked at both. You can look it up. I wanted the meaning of the Greek and the Hebrew. Rebuke, convince, convict. I think rebuke, reproof, and correction, they go hand in hand. Because when my kids growing up, when they would start, and I think Christy did, after, I don't think I ever had any trouble until I said, don't touch that, and then she wanted to touch it. You know, pretty soon after I said, don't touch this, you know, she wanted to touch it. And I can remember stopping her, and I slapped her hand. I said, don't. And so to me, this is the rebuke or the reproof is, don't do that. Don't do these things. Don't. And then correcting. Correcting that pattern of behavior. They go hand in hand. The scriptures are profitable because they show me where I shouldn't be, where I shouldn't go. They, again, the Holy Spirit works in a wonderful way. I don't even think most of the time I had to tell my kids. Nobody has to tell me. Kim didn't have to tell me. You shouldn't have acted like that, or you shouldn't have done that, or she doesn't even know what I'm thinking because she can't read my mind. But the Holy Spirit does. And you know the Holy Spirit is very adept at bringing conviction into my mind and heart. You know that's wrong. You know that's not the Lord. John 16. The Holy Spirit convicts the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment. And he convicts us of sin, righteousness, and judgment. Nobody has to tell me that I've sinned. The Holy Spirit does. Now, I can ignore it, and then sometimes people do come and tell me, why are you ignoring the Holy Spirit? You know, I see that this is going on in your life. Why don't... Oh, geez, yeah. You're right. What's right living? We have then the path to right living. We have the path to righteousness, the right way of life. And then judgment. And I think that's an important one. We don't like to talk about that. But I think it's a progressive thing. Because if I don't heed the Holy Spirit, if I don't heed those that love me, if I don't repent and go the way of right living, then I'm going to face the judge. I'm going to face judgment. Now, for my kids, it was a smack on the hand or a paddling of the behind. At times, not every time, but that's bringing the discipline and hopefully bringing correction, you know, to the pathway of their life. And I didn't want to have to use the paddle, but God's saying I'll use the paddle if it doesn't. Judgment. There is a judgment. There is, people don't like to hear it, there is a real hell. There are going to be real souls that go to a real hell and are separated eternally from a real God. And it's unimaginable. I mean, the Bible describes it to a certain extent. Fire is never quenched. The canker, the maggots, I guess I'll use that, the maggots are always gnawing. You know, it's not a fun place. It's a place of horror. It's a place of anguish. It's a place of punishment eternally. Judgment. And I think I can even face judgment beyond the eternal judgment because of the choices that I make. I might end my life. I might break some bones. I'll certainly break and ruin relationships. I'll bring grief and sorrow and pain, not only into my life, but the lives of those around me and the lives of maybe those that I claim to love. And that's all, again, that's all judgment. That's all consequence of what I do. And so the scriptures, profitable. It's profitable for truth. And then it's profitable. Whoa! Hey! Don't do that! Don't go that way! And then the correcting. I like Philippians, where Paul actually says, you know what? I'm not assuming anything. As a Christian, I want you to think this way. What are our thoughts? It's all. If my thoughts are all negative, all critical, all this, all, then I'm not thinking biblically. I'm not thinking scripturally. I'm not. I need to correct even my thinking. Am I thinking about good things, noble things? upright things. See, my mind is degenerate. And yeah, I'm born again, but I need to learn even how to think. And boy, is that a lifetime process or not? It is. And so the scriptures, they teach, they correct my thinking, they correct my heart, they correct my lifestyle. For correction. Righting the ship. Get me on the right path. That's what the scripture... I like, again, I said the Greek word for scriptures is gra, it's graphe. And when I guess if you think of like geometry or you think whatever, you think, you know, you have these graphs or a piece of graph paper and you put points and you plot, you know, whatever. But a graphe or a map, it's the scriptures are my graph for life. Really successful life is plotted out in here. And I need just to walk in that. I need to walk in that graph. I need to walk in that pathway. You know, I'm having relational issues. Go to the scriptures and learn what the scriptures teach. And I would even say on their part, what do the scriptures teach concerning my part in relationships? I'm having financial issues. What do the scriptures teach concerning finances? I'm having marriage issues. What do the scriptures teach concerning marriage? I'm having trouble with my kids. What do the scriptures teach concerning parenting? I'm having trouble with my parents. What do the scriptures teach? Young people, a child, about themselves and about their parents. Well, I'm pretty upset with the church. What do the scriptures teach concerning a church? You see, it doesn't... I'm upset with the government. What do the scriptures teach about the... You see, it doesn't matter. We could sit here and come up... Say, I mean, this is just things popping in my head. You know, what do the... There's the graph. The scriptures are profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction. And I guess we kind of included this last one, right? For instruction in righteousness. Now I like to just say righteousness simply is right living. It teaches me. It trains us in discipline. It teaches us to live right. It teaches us holy living. Leviticus 19 is one of my favorite chapters on holiness. Just go back and read it. God's holy. If God's holy, then we should be holy. How should we be holy? Moses defines the different areas, and you'd be surprised what some of those areas are, what he defines as holiness. How I treat my neighbor. That's holiness. How I lead my household. That's holiness. How I do business. That's holiness. When we did Leviticus, the Lord, I said, that's practical holiness. It's not like, you know, let's go put our robes on and you know, this false piety and you know, I've got a robe on and maybe a collar or whatever. I stand up here Sunday mornings and that, therefore I'm holy. No, I'm holy. How I treat my wife, how I treat my kids, how I treat the people around me, how I even handle my money, how I handle my time. Practical holiness, that I'm glorifying God in everything I do. And so it teaches me, the scriptures enlighten me as to how I should be living. And if I'm not living that way, then I love it. It also teaches, it reproves me, they reprove me and they correct me. And so there's such a wonderful thing there. You know, so it's not quite circular, but there's like this safety there that the Lord wants me. Again, it's profitable, and we're going to see that the purpose is that you and I have what we need to live. To live good. And I shouldn't even say that, but to live in a way that glorifies God. And so that's the reason he's given us these things. You know, the word, I like the psalmist. You know, the word is a, what is it? It's a lamp, right? And a light. It lights my path, and I can see, in essence, I can, I've almost killed myself. You know, going down the stairs, and I don't turn the light on, and I decide, let's skip the second to last step. But that's not good. You know, I should be having my path lit so I can see my feet, make sure that I'm hitting the steps I need to hit, because to do otherwise could bring great damage, you know, to my body. And so I think that in life, you know, we have what Paul's saying is there's the lamp, and it lights the pathway. I can see. Isn't it good? Wait, Kim and I actually in the daytime yesterday. Was it yesterday? No, it wasn't yesterday. It was Friday. We went for a walk, and there was high grass. And there, you get the divots and stuff. And I stepped and, whoa, right down on the ground. You know, it was light, but I couldn't see my feet. And I didn't see, because of the grass, that big hole there. And so even sometimes when there's light and stuff, I can still be stumbling around a bit. And I think I just need to have it clearly defined so that I, you know, I'm able to see the path and again know where my feet are going. That's what the scriptures do. And again, what's God's ultimate purpose? It's 17. That the man of God, that the woman of God, that the children of God may be what? Complete. It's the only way we can be complete. It's the word for perfection. Maybe perfect? Well, I know I'm not perfect, but be complete. It's like having the ability, right, to do what we're... I think it's awesome that we can know the will of God. It's not hidden from us. And again, this life, there's nothing hidden that if I'm not doing it, if I'm not, I guess, being successful, it's because I'm not following God. It's just as simple as that. And so that the man of God may be complete, he wants us to be complete. He wants us to be successful. Thoroughly equipped. Wow. He'll equip us. He'll fill us with the Spirit. He'll continually be filling me with the Spirit as I go through my day if I'm yielded to the Spirit and relying on the Spirit. But as soon as I'm relying on myself, and as soon as I'm relying on my strength, on my ability, on my intellect, on my talent, on my giftedness, on my greatness, then I'm out of whack. I'm out of step. I'm in for failure. I've set myself up to fail. And so he'll equip us, the scriptures, thoroughly in every area equip us, for we're not just saved to, you know, sit on the beach and soak up the sun, or sit in the mountains in the cool crisp air. We're saved to do good works. We're saved to serve him. were served to labor for him. We're served to be involved and about the gospel. And so, however, and they're good works. It's a good labor. You know, Paul in Thessalonians encourages us, don't grow weary. What? In doing good works. Sometimes you can be wearied. Certainly if you're depending upon the the applause of man or the affirmation of man, don't get in there. You know, you'll never be fulfilled. You know what? Just serve Jesus, enjoy it, and love serving him. And then someday when you get to heaven, see, then you'll know what reward is. And so all scripture, let's just quickly, is given, God breathed, by the inspiration. All scripture originates and comes directly from God. It's for our benefit. It's profitable for us, for doctrine, these truths, these teachings, these instructions, for reproof, maybe stopping us, certainly don't go there, showing us, giving us a discernment, for correction, it corrects us, for instruction, and it teaches us and instructs us, it trains us. The word actually is train and discipline. It works these disciplines in my life. It trains me in right living. I don't act like that. I don't respond or react like that. It's not the Lord. Something I try and think of. Rejoice. Rejoice always. Rejoice in the Lord. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. And again, that's something just really simple that I have to work at a lot, and I have to think of it kind of constantly, because as a frail human, again, I don't know why it's so popular or easy just to be negative all the time. You know, nothing's good. There's always trouble, you know. Oh my. No, praise the Lord. You know, I'm rejoicing in the Lord. You know, he's sustaining me. He's good. That you and I can be complete, thoroughly equipped. He'll never ask me or send me to do anything without giving me the ability to do it. I'm an introvert. I stumble over my words. Someone will approach me and ask me something, and I'm so afraid of and intimidated by them, I can't even respond. But God says, go. And as I trust him, he will equip me and even give me words to say. He will enable me to do every good work. And as a believer, I want to be involved in the gospel. I want to be involved in the good work and in good works. Powerful. What's the admonition? Timothy, stay in it. Stay right there. You don't have to go anywhere else. Stay there. That's where you've been since childhood. Stay there. We're not going to forsake the scriptures in our Bible studies and in our Sunday mornings. And there's not something better. Coffee chats, that's for the coffee shop. And they're okay, but they're not for Bible study. They're not for Sunday mornings. You know, funny little stories, that they're fine. Might make me laugh, but there's no meat. It won't build my faith. And it totally does not prepare me to live my life for Jesus. If I'm ignorant of the word, there is no way that my life is being transformed and that I'm serving Jesus. There's no way. And so I run into, I deal with it all the time. Look at it. Oh. But I'm word poor, and I'm counseling all these people, and I'm having an adulterous affair while I'm doing it, and I'm still on church staff because it doesn't make any difference. It's happening right now. It's ridiculous. But oh boy, this is the most exciting place. Well, great. You know, it's just sad. And so we see what the scriptures do and stay in the scriptures. Lord, help us, to stay in the scriptures.